BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. It's a news roundup Friday today, and so many stories, so little time. My, oh my, we've got to hold a large amount of information that we'd like to share with you on the broadcast here today, coming from a variety of sources across the nation, and certainly calling attention to matters taking place around the world and here at home as well. I tell you, we got problems when we have one who is identifying as female, though biologically male, as winning the NCAA Women's Swimming Championships. We'll have more on that. Certainly, we see what's happening in Ukraine and Russia and many other numerous issues here that we'll bring to your attention. One thing that it really bears out, as Scripture tells us, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I trust that these stories help us underscore today the importance of our sharing the gospel, the good news, in a world such as this. The world is getting darker and darker, and certainly we need to let the light of the gospel shine through us as we go throughout this world. We're going to begin, though, with a Newsmax story today here. This is a Ukrainian President Zelensky, who said in an interview with NBC News Wednesday regarding the Russian invasion of his country that World War III may have already started. He said, "What is the possibility of this war if Ukraine will fall? It's very hard to say." He added that we've been in this 80 years ago when the Second World War had started. Nobody would have been able to predict when the full-scale war would start, emphasizing that the outcome of this current war has the whole civilization at stake. He stressed in his virtual address to both chambers of Congress on Wednesday morning his plea for NATO to impose a no-fly zone. He said on Tuesday that the reluctance to impose a no-fly zone had led him to believe that there's no open door for his country to join NATO, and he made these remarks in part before Congress.
Remember Pearl Harbor, terrible morning of December 7, 1941, when your sky was black from the planes attacking you. Just remember it. Remember September the 11th, a terrible day in 2001 when evil tried to turn your cities, independent territories in battlefields, when innocent people were attacked from air. Yes. Just like no one else expected it, you could not stop it. Our country experiences the same every day, right now, at this moment, every night, for 3 weeks now. Various Ukrainian cities, Odessa and Kharkiv, Chernihiv and Sumy, Zhytomyr and Lviv, Mariupol and Dnipro, Russia has turned the Ukrainian sky into a source of death for thousands of people.
That's Ukrainian President Zelensky, as he spoke to Congress, an excerpt from that message. Almost 3 million people had fled the country since the invasion, reports Newsmax.com. From Robert Spencer, Joe Biden's talking tough, threatening China if it helps Russia. The American National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan stated that the U.S. told Beijing that there will absolutely be consequences for large-scale sanctions, evasion efforts, or support to Russia to backfill them. Jake Sullivan met China's top diplomat for talks in Rome. And Sullivan raised a range of issues in U.S.-China relations with substantial discussions of Russia's war against Ukraine. They also underscored the importance of maintaining open lines of communications between the U.S. and Russia, but said, "We will not allow that to go forward and allow there to be a lifetime to Russia. Communication between the U.S. and China. We will not allow that to go forward and allow there to be a lifeline to Russia from these economic sanctions from any country anywhere in the world," he said. Also from WND.com, the Russian state propaganda about President Putin's invasion of war against Ukraine, that he's ordered the deaths of civilians, including women and children, claims to be an effort to remove neo-Nazis from Ukraine. Well, the Russia state has claims that its war is going as planned, despite reports that thousands of Russian soldiers have been killed. And now the rhetoric has reached new, unscaled heights of extremism. Russian lawmakers are demanding that the United States will have to give Alaska to Russia as part of the reparations that will be required. Also, a member of the Russian parliament, known as the Kremlin spin doctor, said we shouldn't be thinking about, rather, we should be thinking about reparations. He said the return of all Russia properties, those of the Russian Empire, the Soviet Union, and current Russia, which has been seized in the United States and so on. And he was asked, are you including Fort Ross? And he said that was my next point, as well as the Antarctic. He said we discovered it. Looking at the Daily Mail, former President Medvedev has said that the U.S. may need to be put in its place for sharing disgusting Russia phobia in the latest Kremlin attack on the West after President Biden called Vladimir Putin a war criminal. Let's see, another news. The Chinese Communist Party announced this week it will increase the budget for the People's Liberation Army by 7.1%, reports the Daily Signal. This increase continues the trend of sustained increases in the Chinese military budget. Since 2018, the Chinese Communist Party has increased the People's Liberation Army budget by over 28%, with consecutive annual increases of 8.1% and 6.6%. CNSNews.com reporting on March 12th, about 100 self-described witches gathered at an indoor facility to call upon supernatural entities and presumably the forces of darkness to strengthen Russian President Vladimir Putin and to help him in his invasion of Ukraine, reported Asia News. The witches wore dark capes and hoods, recited incantations. The ritual lasted some 20 minutes. CBN News is reporting at least one friend of a suspect accused of setting fires inside a church and synagogue alleged the purported perpetrator had been worshiping Satan, practicing witchcraft before the shocking incidents. Kimora Parker of New Britain, Connecticut, accused of starting the fires last Friday inside St. Matthew's Lutheran Church and also a Jewish synagogue. A friend named Louis Malava ordered additional purported claim, saying she started worshiping Santeria and witchcraft, and that's all that stuff and what she's been practicing, and that's what she's been putting in her house, she said. She's taking elements from her streets, breaking them, using them as part of rituals, said it's time for the world to change. Was arrested last Saturday in a third-degree arson and third-degree burglary charges, reportedly on suicide watch, held on some $260,000 bond. From WND.com, while Washington's attention largely is focused on the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the Biden administration is making what President Trump called the worst deal ever. Even worse, according to the former National Security Council chief of staff, Fred Vleitz, who wrote in The Federalist that the Biden administration is close to announcing a new agreement to reinstate the JCPOA. That's a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action that is not only weaker, but puts Russia in charge. Russia in charge. Flights call this deal astonishingly bad, pointing out that it's sanctions on Iranian terrorists and terrorist organizations, including the Revolutionary Guard Corps. Iran will receive an estimated $90 billion in sanctions relief, $50 billion in extra revenue each year from higher oil exports, in addition, would receive $7 billion in cash and frozen Iranian assets held in South Korea in exchange for releasing four Americans falsely imprisoned by Iran. Moreover, Iran will be allowed to enrich uranium to 20%. That is significantly closer to weapons-grade nuclear fuel instead of the previous held level of 3.67%. Let's see. Fox News reporting progressive Democrats in the House of Representatives are reportedly planning to publicly urge President Biden to ban oil drilling on federal lands amid record gas prices in a war in Ukraine that has been disruptive to the oil markets. The Congressional Progressive Caucus is planning to demand that Biden use his executive power to declare climate change an emergency and to ban the drilling on federal lands. The reported move drew immediate criticisms on social media as well. Matter of fact, one of the comments, the tweets went out from Senator Ted Cruz, tweeting out, Dems want $10 gas. $10 gas. Well, folks, we're going to go back in time. Go back in time to when Donald Trump was running for re-election as president of the United States. We're going to be hearing a clip from what he said on the campaign trail leading up to the 2020 election, and also a clip back-to-back here with what he said before the United Nations as he addressed the UN. Let's listen in.
We have more oil than anybody, okay? And it's an incredible thing that it's happened over the last few years, a lot of great things, and you're paying, what, $2 a gallon for your gasoline? That's okay. You know what that's like? That's like a tax cut. That's bigger than a tax cut. If Biden got in, you'd be paying $7, $8, $9. Then they say, get rid of your car.
Reliance on a single foreign supplier can leave a nation vulnerable to extortion and intimidation. That is why we congratulate European states such as Poland for leading the construction of a Baltic pipeline so that nations are not dependent on Russia to meet their energy needs. Germany will become totally dependent on Russian energy if it does not immediately change course. Here in the Western Hemisphere, we are committed to maintaining our independence from the encroachment of expansionist foreign powers.
Yes, the words from President Donald Trump, first of all on the campaign trail, warning about high gas prices coming, and then also his comments before the UN. Germany there was snickering as he said that. And I don't think they're snickering today. CNSNews.com. President Joe Biden's executive order prohibiting the importation of Russian oil prompted by Russia's invasion of Ukraine appears to exempt the U.S. federal government, its agencies, and its contractors from the ban. Yes, Section 3 says that nothing in this order shall prohibit the federal government from transactions buying oil and other energy products from Russia. Isn't that interesting? DailyWire.com reporting Governor Gavin Newsom rejecting Republicans' bid to pause California's gas tax because the move would help, quote, petro dictators and oil companies. Well, prices at the pump have been rising for the past year, reaching new highs amid the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The average American consumer currently is paying $4.31 a gallon. The average Californian pays an average of $5.75 a gallon. Let's go on to WND.com. The U.S. dollar's position as the chief currency of trade for the global oil industry has been a foundation of the American economy for decades, keeping inflation at bay amid the Fed's unprecedented printing of money. But now Saudi Arabia and China are in talks to price some of the monarchy's oil sales in the Chinese yuan rather than dollars, the Wall Street Journal reported Tuesday. Citing people familiar with the matter, the paper said that after 6 years of off-and-on discussions, talks stepped up this year amid Riyadh's strong opposition to Washington's nuclear negotiations with Iran and other issues. The Saudis have been using the dollar for trading oil since the mid-70s, and that was threatened in 2019. A Reuters source said that the Saudis were warning that if this No Oil Producing and Exporting Cartels Act passed, it would be the U.S. economy that would fall apart. More stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, if sedimentary rock is made up of sediments deposited by Noah's flood, where did the sediments come from?
Chris, it appears that before the flood, calcareous ooze made of tiny marine animals and secretions accumulated on the ocean bottom. Scooped up by the flood, they became today's limestone deposits. It also appears that the sandstone deposits came from created granitic rock, which eroded to yield the sand that are modern-day sandstones. Also, during the flood, intense volcanism occurred as the fountains of the Great Deep broke open, depositing huge quantities of volcanic ash. This became intermingled with other flood sediments to form a variety of rock types. Chris, I think the flood of Noah's Day is a very important concept which we must understand if we ever hope to understand the world around us. Let's develop a Back to Genesis way of thinking.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup Friday here today, covering a number of issues from across the country, around the world as well. And had a phone call a bit ago from an individual in Johnson City, Tennessee, alerting us to the fact that the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is based right here in our state of Wisconsin, is wanting the city of Elizabethton to take down the three iconic crosses on Lynn Mountain that overlook the city. Ladies and gentlemen, these crosses have been there for decades. And you have this Freedom From Religion Foundation. They're demanding that these crosses be removed, saying they're located on city property, and this is a violation of the separation of church and state, the separation clause that they say is in the First Amendment. Well, we just want to let you folks know that are near this area and you have contacts in Elizabethton. Their city attorney, Roger Day, said that any action by the city in response to the foundation's request must be taken up by the city council. And I'm going to provide you a number to the mayor's office of Elizabethton, Tennessee, where you can reach out. You can also go, if you just look at Elizabethton.org, and you can look under city government there, you'll find all the phone numbers for the city council members. But to reach out to the mayor to stand up to this Freedom From Religion Foundation, which we don't have any indication that they were even there. Matter of fact, we're told that even the pictures that they had put up on this were from a different end of the city that was on private land. But nonetheless, you can contact the mayor of Elizabethton and encourage the mayor to stand strong against the Freedom From Religion Foundation. These crosses have been up there for decades. Supposedly, one person complained. You can reach the mayor, Kurt Alexander is his name, at this number, 423-543-1181, to certainly encourage him to stand up against this action against their community. His number is 423-543-1181. Let's go on to frontpagemag.com. President Biden recently released Mohammed El-Qahtani, the 20th 9/11 hijacker, and also Suhail El-Sharabi, another hijacker, for an expanded version of the 9/11 attacks on the Gitmo, from Gitmo. So it's only fitting he's trying to cut a plea deal, with the mastermind of the attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the architect of the September 11th attacks, not to mention multiple other plots and acts of terror, including the 93 bombing of the World Trade Center and the brutal murder of Daniel Pearl back in 2003. The trial of Mohammed and other terrorists involved in the 9/11 attacks finally began in 2021 after a series of hearings was shut down due to COVID. The Biden administration has been aggressively pressuring the Department of Defense to shut down Gitmo and free all the terrorists. Mohammed and his legal allies understood that, and like Obama, Biden wants to empty Gitmo. Well, the 9/11 mastermind has effectively used that in the past by demanding that he serve out a sentence in Gitmo instead of in Colorado. He and his legal defenders claimed that Gitmo was a better place for Muslims. Well, the warning is that as more time goes by, Americans would care less about September 11th, and it appears to be what's happening. The Biden administration, they report on frontpagemag.com, is that the Biden administration is betting it can cut a plea deal and clear the Mohammed case. Trying to cut a deal to spare 9/11 mastermind of the death penalty? By the way, DailyWire.com reporting six Republican senators voted against an amendment Tuesday that would eliminate the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases position. It's being held by Dr. Anthony Fauci. Senators voted on Kentucky Rand Paul's amendment to replace this agency with three separate national research institutes on Tuesday morning in Washington. Republican Senators Richard Burr of North Carolina, Susan Collins of Maine, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Mitt Romney of Utah, Jerry Moran of Kansas, each voted against the amendment. Rand Paul said this, "We've learned a lot over the past 2 years, but one lesson in particular is that no one person should be deemed dictator-in-chief. No one person should have unilateral authority to make decisions for millions of Americans." From LifeSiteNews.com, we have the story about Pfizer CEO facing mockery after he announced that a fourth COVID shot is necessary. due to the injection's waning immunity. During an interview of CBS's Face the Nation last Sunday, Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla announced that most people would need a fourth injection, a fourth shot, while admitting that his company's shot does not provide long-lasting immunity against the highly survivable coronavirus. The fourth shot coming. And Fauci was asked recently, too, how many shots after that? Well, we don't know, but we're going to have to continue on, giving out the shots. Interesting, from the GatewayPundit.com, from May 19th of 2021 to March 8th of this year, Thailand's National Health Security Office, that's the NHSO, has paid the equivalent of $45.65 million as financial aid to people who suffered adverse reactions after receiving the COVID-19 shot, local news reported. In case of death or permanent disability, each family would receive the equivalent of $11,900. $7,178 paid for those who lose a limb or sustain a disability, which affects their livelihood. And $2,990 paid to those who suffer a chronic illness, Thai PBS reported. According to the NHSO, a total of 15,933 so far have filed complaints of adverse reactions to COVID-19 vaccines. Some 2,300 complaints were rejected, but rejected after it was ruled that the side effects were not related to the vaccines. Well, of the related cases, 875 complainants are now appealing those earlier decisions, and another 891 cases were pending consideration. So the equivalent of over $45 million as compensation to over 15,000 people following the COVID-19 vaccine adverse reactions. LifeNews.com telling us the disgraced former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration failed to report 4,000 nursing home deaths to COVID-19, likely in an attempt to keep up the positive publicity about his handling of the pandemic. The state audit found that the state had undercounted 4,000 deaths, including approximately 50% of the deaths between April 15th and May 2nd of 2020, a critical period of the pandemic when Mr. Cuomo was trumpeting his response to the virus, the Washington Times reported. Daily Wire telling us Massachusetts is dropping its COVID-19 death count by 3,700 people after adopting new criteria for determining deaths. Their Department of Public Health says of March 14th, the state will update its criteria to align with guidance from the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists. Under the old criteria, COVID-19 death definition applies not only to people who have COVID-19 listed as a cause of death on their death certificate, but also people who had a COVID-19 diagnosis within 60 days of their death, but do not have COVID-19 listed as a cause of death on their death certificate. While their new definition tightens that diagnosis timeline from 60 days to just 30 days, and has come about, some 3,700 people are being dropped from the COVID-19 death count. Interesting slip of the tongue from President Biden again on Tuesday when he announced that the First Lady's husband contracted COVID, only to be reminded a few seconds later by someone on the sidelines that he, in fact, was the First Lady's husband. Pardon me, he said, and laughter erupted in the room, only getting louder as he realized what he had just added. He said, "That's right, she's fine, it's me. The second lady, the first gentleman. How about that?" Biden had, is that what we call the vice president, the second lady? Kind of interesting. He apparently had been trying to announce that second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, husband to Vice President Kamala Harris, had tested positive for COVID-19. But he announced that the first lady's husband contracted COVID. See what's going on in New Zealand? LifeSiteNews.com reporting from the New Zealand High Court that they have defended the rights of Christians who refuse to receive the shot on the grounds that it constitutes a violation of their conscience, acknowledging that the objection to abortion is grounded in a core principle of Christianity, and talking about the abortion-tainted COVID shot. The High Court of New Zealand ruled February 25th that a government mandate ordering police officers and the New Zealand Defense Force personnel to receive a COVID jab in order to carry out their work was an unlawful impediment on officers' free and democratic rights. Gateway Pundit also pointing out the story of a Jackson River Pediatrics, located in Allegheny County, Virginia. A patient took a photo of a sign posted at their office. Posted at the office here. And it's to student athletes. It reads this: sports physicals are done primarily to make sure you are not at risk for sudden cardiac death on the playing field. COVID vaccination affects your risk. In response to worldwide experience and vaccine adverse event monitoring, we are adopting a more precautionary sports physical sign-off policy. If you have received doses of any COVID shot, we will not be able to clear you to compete in sports without performing lab work and possibly an echocardiogram to rule out potential heart damage. That's outside the Jackson River Pediatrics, Allegheny County, Virginia. Okay, let's move on to some other stories here. Yes, Citigroup to pay for employees to travel out of state to kill their babies in abortion. LifeNews.com has a story this week. Citigroup, one of the largest banks in the U.S., just announced a new incentives for its employees to prioritize their careers over family, travel money. Travel money for abortions. The bank revealed the new plan this week in a report ahead of its shareholders' meetings in April. Axios reported the $1.7 trillion company is the fourth largest bank in the U.S., according to Bankrate. Starting in 2022, Citigroup plans to pay its employees travel costs to get an abortion. It includes flight expenses, lodging, and other travel expenses. Bloomberg reports the plan appears to be targeting the bank's more than 8,500 employees in Texas that has banned abortions on unborn babies with beating hearts, heartbeat bill that went into effect last September. And there are a number of pro-life groups that are saying, hey, what about paying instead to cover the cost of birth or baby supplies or daycare? Interesting. LifeNews.com also reporting that Wyoming just became one of the about a dozen states to protect unborn babies with a law that will immediately ban abortions once Roe v. Wade is overturned. The Governor Mark Gordon signed this into law, would ban abortions in Wyoming as soon as the U.S. Supreme Court overturns Roe. Exceptions that they have put into the legislation are if the mother's life is at risk and for victims of rape or incest. Yeah, FoxNews.com reporting women's rights protesters furious after trans athlete Leah Thomas was dubbed a women's NCAA swimming champion yesterday. The quote here, there's a man called Will Thomas who's changed his name to Leah Thomas, who is competing in women's swimming. Kelly J. Keene, head of the organization Standing for Women, said in an interview with Fox News outside the Georgia Tech Athletic Center, where the competition is being held. Thomas of the University of Pennsylvania won the 500-yard freestyle at the NCAA Women's Swimming and Diving Championships yesterday, becoming the first transgender athlete to win an NCAA Division I championship in any sport. The UPenn athlete is also scheduled to swim in the 200-yard and 100-yard freestyle heats this weekend. This is a male displacing women, said Annabelle Rutledge, Concerned Women for America director. She said that to Fox News, the female who comes in second today is the real winner. Only women can win a women's swimming and diving championship, she continued. I'm going to have some more thoughts on that story right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
It's a News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk, and in a short while we'll give you opportunity to call in your comments and reactions and so forth here on the stories this week. My stack is less than halfway through, but nonetheless, we'll continue to report here. Yeah, it's amazing to see this story about a biological male swimming in the NCAA Women's Swimming Championship in Atlanta and taking first place. One of Thomas's teammates, who spoke to Fox News on the condition of anonymity, told the publication that the transgender swimming participation in women's athletics has completely ruined the integrity of the sport. It's not necessarily an achievement in my mind. Women's records are separate from men's records, its own distinct category, because no woman is going to be as fast as a man. And here it's just completely, we're just throwing away the definition of a record to fit into someone else's agenda of what it means to them, when in reality it makes no scientific sense to do so. The student added that she finds it disappointing to know that the NCAA lacks the courage to do the right thing. Matter of fact, there was a spectator that was at this event, and just before this 500-yard race began, the finals qualifier event on Thursday, one man exclaimed, "Cheater," just seconds before the race began. You know, we reported just the other day with Robert Knight about Disney and this large gift to the human rights campaign and trying to defeat and speak against this legislation in the state of Florida that protects the innocence of young children in pre-K through the third grade from being sexually indoctrinated through classroom materials. But that's not gone far enough as far as this contribution. Because there are Disney employees, this is from thehill.com, who are staging walkouts regarding this legislation and saying that Disney has not gone far enough. They have an open letter to the organizers of the Disney Do Better walkout, demanding that the company regain the trust of the LGBTQIA plus community and employees by taking more meaningful action against the bill that seeks to restrict classroom instruction related to sexual orientation and gender identity in primary schools. So Disney employees saying, Disney, you've not gone far enough. You need to do even more against this. Oh, by the way, FaithWire is reporting, four Disney employees, along with a retired judge, were among the more than 100 people arrested in a recent sex trafficking sting, according to Florida police. "We protected some little girl someplace that was groomed or potentially groomed by these evil, deviant criminals. Thugs, that's all they are," said the Polk County Sheriff Grady Judge. "They're dangerous people." One of the suspected criminals, 27-year-old Javier Jackson, worked as a lifeguard at Walt Disney World's Polynesian Village Resort in Lake Buena Vista. The sheriff said Jackson sent inappropriate messages and photos of himself to an undercover detective he believed was a 14-year-old girl. The ex-lifeguard also has been charged with three counts of transmitting harmful material to a minor and one count of unlawful communication. Judge also identified three other Disney staffers as well, reports FaithWire. Daily Mail Online tells us that New York City's top cop on Sunday called for an end to this woke bail reform laws that allow criminals who commit minor offenses to go free. This is Police Commissioner Keechan Sewell said, "The criminal justice reform law that took effect in 2020, I think, is definitely part of the thinking that needs to change. We can keep most of the important elements of the reform, but there are absolutely some things that need to be adjusted." Referring to the laws, seemed to decry the decriminalization of quality of life crimes like turnstile jumping at the subway stations, marijuana use, drinking in public. "We've used discretion in the past. Now we don't have even that," she said. Elaborating further, she added, "There are entire categories of crimes where we make an arrest, but the judges are prohibited from even setting bail. Even if the same burglar or car thief commits the same crime every day and ends up in front of the same judge." Folks, we have totally lost our common sense. The Sewell's comments came amid a weekend filled with assault cases in the Big Apple as the NYPD reported that the city's crime rate was up nearly 60% in February when compared to the same time just a year ago. I mean, it's not only there in New York, but another woke liberal city, Seattle, has gotten so terrible Amazon is relocating a number of their employees at its office in Seattle amid concerns about the increase in violent crime there, reports the Daily Wire. About 1,800 employees assigned to the Amazon office on the corner of 3rd Ave and Pine Street in downtown Seattle. They were, and many work remotely, but at a recent spike in crime in the block has forced the company to relocate in-office workers to a space elsewhere in the city. We're talking downtown Seattle. Jerusalem Post reporting anti-Semitic crimes, hate crimes, were up 400% last month, according to new data released by the New York Police Department. Troubling times, folks, in which we live. We're going to open our phone lines. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event news stories, our number to crosstalk today is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. A couple stories here from LifeSiteNews.com. The European Union has extended their COVID passport till mid-2023, claiming it's to facilitate free movement. It's the Permanent Representatives Committee formally endorsed the Council's negotiating mandate with the European Parliament to extend the regulation establishing the EU digital COVID certificate. Find it also interesting from LifeNews.com or LifeSiteNews.com, a story that involves the World Economic Forum. You've heard of them before. Well, the Canadian and Dutch governments are listed as pilot partners for the World Economic Forum's Known Traveler Digital Identity System. The project's website, initially launched in 2018, explains that the Known Traveler Digital Identity, or KTDI, is a World Economic Forum initiative that brings together a global consortium of individuals, governments, authorities, and the travel industry to, quote, enhance security in world travel. The goal of their KTDI pilot, which launched in 2019, according to the site, is to test a means for travelers to maintain and share trusted, verifiable, globally interoperable digital identity attributes issued by one or more public or private sector entities, adding that for the program to become scalable and widely adopted, that the concept requires international standardization and accepted interoperability across geographies, policy environments, and industries. Ever hear the term globalism, folks? One world government? Here we have the World Economic Forum, and this has been warned by Alex Newman, by Gary Kaa, by numerous other people we've had here on Crosstalk, as they have this global digital ID for travelers and now listing Canada and Netherlands as the partners. But they said to be effective, this must be adopted universally across the entire globe. Again, our phone number to Crosstalk here today, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you'd like to come in on these stories or other current event stories. Let's go to Mukwonago, Wisconsin. Dominique, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. I just wanted to report on what happened on Wednesday with the invitation I sent out to everyone.
Yes.
It was incredible. First of all, I have to say it was very disheartening to our family walking through a pretty empty Capitol. Instead of the thousands of people that we needed there, we had 60, and that included the media.
Okay, Dominique, just to set the stage, you're talking about the Wisconsin State Capitol in Madison, Wisconsin. And for those not familiar, what was the issue that took you there?
It was about the election and showing the fraud to Speaker Voss. Speaker Voss had called for it to be a closed meeting. But what we didn't realize, and that was such a privilege, was we felt like we were a part of history. I mean, we was such a small group, but they actually showed us what they had shown to Voss. And so his comments later that there was no constitutional pathway forward, that's not true at all. Fraud negates everything. And it was so powerful. They had U.S. Air Force retired Colonel Sean Smith there about national security and how this was affecting national security. They had Dr. Frank, you know, the one who discovered the algorithm was from the 2010 census that they were using to stuff that. It was incredible. The experts they had, it was phenomenal. It was so amazing. And then that night at the rally, they had hundreds. They didn't have thousands, but it was a really good, it was a good turnout. They had truckers coming through. They had the county chair voters were so upset at Voss that he will not listen to the people. He will not change this. He won't do the right thing. There is a lot of power moving here, and we need to really stick with this and be able to decertify the electors and keep pushing for this and pushing for election integrity, because we will not get a new governor. We will not get a new attorney general. We will not get Ron Johnson and et cetera if we do not fix this now. So anyway, it was really thrilling. I just wanted to encourage everyone to pray really hard and to work in your local areas to get constitutional candidates in running against these rhinos.
Thank you, Dominique. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Al next, Bridgeport, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to thank you for a great week. It's been really, really good shows this week and everything, so thank you for that. But I wanted to speak about this transgender athlete swimming against the women.
Yeah.
I coached youth sports for quite a number of years, and long time it was women. It was girls. And honestly, I didn't know what I would do. I honestly think they need their own classification, Jim, because really that's – If we would have that done, I don't think that they would be trying to cheat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's just sickening. It's sickening to desecrate your temple that God gave you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just blasphemy to me, man.
Yeah, it's shaking your fist at God. I mean, we're told in Genesis 1 that God created them male and female. Male and female created he them, and no matter what we do to our body, we cannot change that biological reality. I mean, that is what science is.
That's right. God does not make mistakes, and people who think he makes mistakes are sadly wrong.
Well, thank you for the call here, Al.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for the call. Our number, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Port Charlotte, Florida. Bill, you're on the air. Hello, Bill. Okay, lost Bill. Let's go to Larry in Minnesota. Larry, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a comment here. All these things that are being said today, they're true, not disputing any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're missing the focus. I think what we need to do, even as believers, we really need to get on our knees and really examine ourselves to see if we're right with Christ. Just because we're not for abortion, we're not for these things, I think believers really need to examine themselves to see if they're right with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The rapture is about to happen. And I think our focus shouldn't be so much on this nation anymore. But we should be looking up for our Redeemer, and we should be praying earnestly for people. And I think that's where our focus needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
America's over. Our eyes need to be set on Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And I don't disagree, Larry, that our focus needs to be on the Lord. No question there whatsoever. And that's why I started the very program today, and I hope you caught the very beginning of the program, about how dark this world is getting and the importance of letting our light shine for Jesus Christ. I mean, the only thing that's going to change mankind is salvation that is found in Jesus Christ the Savior. So don't disagree with you at all. Prayer is sorely needed for this nation, and that starts within, doesn't it? If my people call by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Thank you for the call. We'll be back in 1 minute. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Last year on my radio show, I began to read a document from the Rockefeller Foundation that's entitled Reset the Table, Meeting the Moment to Transform the U.S. Food System. Well, what is that moment? When will that moment be? My friends, I believe that moment is pretty much right now. What's going on? Massive food price increases, massive inflation, a fertilizer crisis, a fuel crisis. Much of this has all been manipulated. So many of the things that this administration and central government have been done deliberately to bring down America. Do we really think that many of the people in office today are working for America, or are they working for China? All you got to do is read the book by Peter Schweitzer to know many of them have been caught red-handed taking the money and influence of China. And now they want to accomplish what the Communist Manifesto calls for, getting the government control of the food, so they can get control of the people. I'm Brandon House. This is the Worldview Report.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and, you know, friends, there's another aspect to this, too. We are called to be salt and light, and that's a twofold responsibility. It's not one or the other. It is both, and certainly we have that responsibility in this time, and just as the prophet Hosea proclaimed, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to be understanding of the times in which we live. And just as the watchman who was to alert the city when danger approached, if he failed to do his job, it was his blood that was held accountable for failing to warn the people. And in like vein, hear this program. We view this program itself as being a watchman and to warn, to sound the alarm when there is danger that is approached against the home, the family, the church, as we see happening in so many of these various issues that we bring before you here on Crosstalk. So, again, it's not either or, it's both. It's all of it. Let's go back to the phone lines here today, and Bill is next in Port Charlotte, Florida. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I'm sorry about that. I've never done this. What I was commenting on, I was wondering, why don't the girls boycott the whole thing? Don't even compete against this guy.
Well, it's easier for us to say. Some of these girls are ones who have built their life on this competition and all the training and everything that they go through. And when they come to the championships, to throw it aside is a very difficult thing for them. And, you know, scholarships and other, you know, means for them to advance in this as well is a dilemma that puts them into. But to me, it's shame on the NCAA for expanding their rules to go outside of what biology states.
Do you know if this guy's wearing a woman's bathing suit?
Yes, sir.
Oh, he is? it's disgusting.
But
it's sad. It's really sad that this... I don't know.
Yeah, and it's not just happening at this. It's happening in all kinds of competition, track and field and running. The various running sports around the track as well. And they're getting, but men's bodies are built differently. There's a greater lung capacity and bone density and mass to them. And when you see this man next to the biological females, you know, standing, he towers over them.
Does he have bragging rights? I mean, does this guy think, wow, and goes around telling everybody how great he was to beat all these women? This is stupid. Well, this is so stupid.
Thank you, Bill. Amy is next in Linden Station, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. While I was calling in, I think you are addressing, sort of speaking to what I want to talk. I want to refer to the two callers, the one related to the transgender swimming, and then the other one related to, you know, the rapture's coming and we need to be ready. I've been a Christian for over 30 years, and I think primarily the message of the church has been bad in that it's been not getting involved in politics. Not, you know, just let's just win souls, let's just love people for Jesus. We do have to win souls and love people to Jesus, but we as a church in America have not hung on to the wheel as far as saving young girls from being molested in schools, as far as being salt and light in the culture. People, about 8 years ago, I testified at a Baraboo High School school board meeting regarding this transgender, having the athletes there. And there was a pastor from a Baptist church there, and his message was so watered down, I was sick. He said, well, we really need to study this more and think about it. And no, we don't need to study it more and think. And I did testify, and thankfully Christian Medical and Dental Association have given me statistics. And I looked at every one of those school board members, and I said, if you pass this, if someone gets molested, you're responsible. And we do know recently that happened, where a transgender male raped a female. They transferred him to another school, and he did it again. So it's the church... we need to not be consumed with the rapture. If the rapture happens, great. But in the meantime, we have a lot of work to do affecting our culture, because God gave us America to be salt and light and a blessing to the rest of the world. And so if we don't use our form of government with its checks and balances and stick to the Constitution, then we're not going to be fulfilling what our purpose is. The other thing I want to speak to is we should not wait for Roe versus Wade to be overturned. Pastor Matt Truella's Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate states, when the lesser magistrates stand for what's right, then the other people get behind them. We can ignore Roe versus Wade. We could have a governor or legislator say we're not killing one more baby. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy, for the call. And yes, I do look forward to the time of the Lord's return, but I also remember occupy till I come. We need to go about doing the Lord's business until he comes again. So thank you for those comments here today. We're going to get one last call in, and this is Greg in West Union, Ohio. Greg, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah, I appreciate you taking my call, and I really appreciate your show. People keep saying we're losing our country. I think we've already lost it, and I'm hoping we can get it back. If Trump had been in office, everybody says this war wouldn't have happened. But in order for Bible scripture to be fulfilled, the prophecies, a war has to happen. And I'm sure you're familiar. It says one-third of all of mankind will die in that war. And I'm watching all these things come to pass that's been prophesied and I've studied about for years, and I'm sure you're the same. One thing I do want to mention is I don't think there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. I can't make my Bible say that. I was taught that. I believed that for years. But after 30 years of studying the Bible, I don't believe that anymore.
Well, and Greg, you're certainly welcome to your thoughts on that. We would disagree with you in that regard. But we do know the Lord is coming back. And I think it's important for us to live in light of that return. And to certainly, as Scripture says, every man that hath that hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Thank you for the call. We are out of time here today as we close out the program. Friends, I know these are troubling issues that we talk about so often here, but let me remind you what Jesus said when he reminded those that were around him. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Friends, as these things happen in our world today, let's not be troubled. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it is Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust this Lord's Day you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.